I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fans, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. We are finally here, the morning of Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. First time in a very, very long time, decades, that we have seen the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's a familiar foe, a franchise that the Knicks have gone toe-to-toe with in the glory days, the Indiana Pacers. The Knicks are favored. They are favored to win this series, and we're going to see a battle. I just heard Jerry and Rascona pick the Knicks. Jerry said Knicks in five. I wish I was that confident. I will pick the Knicks. I don't think I could pick them in five, but I can't wait, man. This is as good as it gets when you have been waiting for a long time to see your franchise and to get the team that knocked you out last year that you've been thinking about, that you kept saying and we kept saying, man, if we were healthy, we would have beat those bastards. Now you get them again in the Eastern Conference Finals with home court advantage. Can't wait. We'll get to some bad baseball from the Mets, some great baseball from the Yankees as well. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, G. And do you feel it, man? Do you have the butterflies yet?
I got the butterflies. I'm feeling Knicks fever. Do you got the fever?
I got the fever, but I'll tell you what, they got to do exactly what Oklahoma City did last night. I mean, that's lay the hammer down at home, game one, set the tone of the series, and come out flying. And I know that the Pacers are a very good team. I've listened intently over the last couple of days of just how good they are, how deep they are, how well they run, how well they move the ball, how well they shoot. Oh my God, you would think on a national level that the Knicks don't even have a chance. And this was what was irking me yesterday, and it just continues and continues and continues. All I can tell you is that, you know, this is going to be a fever pitch tonight. Every game that the Knicks play from here on in is going to be the most expensive game, the most important game, and it's just going to go on and on and on as long as they continue to keep winning.
Yes, and that's what we've seen, like, you know, last year, and then when they first got back to the playoffs with Julius Randle back in the day, it's like, oh, man, you know, this is the first time for this, first time for that. Last year, first time for this, and now here in 2025, it's the first time for them getting back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think the things that make you feel encouraged about the Knicks is the fact that they played their best game of the postseason the last game they played, and they played it at home. So you've heard about them peaking potentially right now is a word that I have heard out there. That would be great. Peak, take game one. And I mean, listen, the Oklahoma City Thunder took off in the second half and blew the doors off of Minnesota. That would be great if you could do that, but I'm not expecting a lot of rocking chairs in this series. I think this is going to be just an awesome, entertaining, down to the last second series that's going to go six or seven games.
It's exactly what a playoff rivalry series should be.
Yes.
And you would think that, you know, we're going to see a lot of guys. Well, I don't know how many guys are going to get injured, but there's going to be a couple guys
getting
injured.
Let's not talk about that.
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about it prior to the Celtics and what it would take for the Knicks to win, and they would need a little bit of help here or there. They got it. And last year, and even this year, the Pacers have got it from their end. I mean, first with the Cavaliers and last year, of course, with the Knicks as they beat the Knicks in seven. And that was a beat-up Knicks team.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't a team that featured Mitchell Robinson. That wasn't a team that featured Carl Anthony Towns or OG Anunoby. I mean, like, or Mikal Bridges. So you have four of the most important players that are all healthy, ready to rock and roll. And the Garden's going to be just absolutely rocking tonight. So, you know, you look back at some of these playoff series between these two teams in history. It's just amazing. And here we are again. And Tyrese Haliburton, you know, he's filling the shoes of a Reggie Miller for older fans.
Yeah, that's right. And he's certainly let's hope he doesn't work into the history of the New York Knicks as much as Reggie Miller did. I mean, it's certainly one series that they won, but I don't think any Knicks fan believed that if the Knicks had stayed healthy that the Pacers would have won that series. I mean, they were done by the end of it. OG tried his best to come back. He was limping around. He couldn't do a damn thing. You know, then Hart and Brunson both go down. It was impossible at that point. And this is going to be a completely different style of basketball that we're going to see from the Pacers. This is not going to be hucking up threes and depending on the three. Now, a three-point shot in every single series is a big deal. They're just not as much for the Pacers as it was the Celtics, where this team runs, it's transition, it's fast, it's trying to wear you out, it's the bench and emptying the bench and keeping guys fresh and all of those things that we saw last year, and we're used to it now, having seen the Pacers, because it's a very, very similar team. The Knicks have changed a hell of a lot more from last year to this year than the Indiana Pacers have. So, yeah, can't wait. The only thing that sucks about it for us is we are going to be tired because these games are tipping off after 8 o'clock, and we're going to be up texting each other in the 11 o'clock hour and then seeing each other a couple hours later, but that's fine. That is a small sacrifice to make, Boomer, to have the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I will take no sleep. Give me this every year. For God's sakes.
Well, you know, there's artificial energy. There's energy in the studio already this morning. You can feel it. There's also a palatable energy in the building. You know, I came in this morning. You know, there's the security guard down there. He's ready to rock and roll.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean,
like, everybody is ready for this. Everybody's looking forward to this. And quite frankly, you know, as just a New York sports fan overall, I mean, this is great for the city. You know, it really is. I mean, it brings out what I'd like to think is the best in everyone. I would imagine a lot of kids are wearing their Knicks jerseys to schools today.
Yeah.
And I would think that you would be dyed in the wool like to miss this game tonight. You cannot miss this game. You got to watch every freaking second of this game.
Yeah, I don't know if it brings out the best in everybody as we saw that guy get hit with bags of garbage wearing the Pacers jersey.
I mean.
But I think it brings out the best in most of us. Let's say that. The best in most of us. And then the guy was screaming at Brian Windhorst and the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, I think
every now and then you can run to a lunatic. But I'm just telling you, what you saw last Friday night was just a fan base that's been waiting to explode. You know, we got Roscone in here this morning, and he's in for Al. And quite frankly, he's a huge Knicks fan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he told Wally Szczerbiak that he would have paid $10,000 for that Larry Johnson four-point ball.
Yeah, and by the way, me and Roscone sat next to each other for that game. He was kind enough to bring me to that playoff game. He had season tickets in his family, and he asked me to go because we grew up together and went to the high school together. And so we have three out of the four of us that are sitting in the studio right now. We're at that LJ four-point play game, and I've said to this day that was the coolest moment I've ever had attending a game. And it's kind of like not even close because of how that whole thing went down and the chills and hugging strangers and where I was at that point in my life being young and then celebrating in the streets and doing the LJ thing. So,
you get exactly what the New York Knicks fan, the young New York
Knicks
fan.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. I mean,
right
those
now.
Guys, it's their turn now for sure to experience this for the first time. And for us, it's a little bit more nostalgia and getting back into that excitement. But, yeah, I mean, the guys that are calling up, and I hear them all day long on the radio station when I'm listening. I'm 20-something, I'm 30-something, I don't remember this, I don't remember that. You know, so it's really cool to see the energy and the reinvigoration that this franchise has brought to the city and the fan base. And Roscone did say, he's like, man, I want to go back to this series all these years later. He's like, the two of us should go. And I'm like, I can't, man. I just can't.
You know,
like,
if there were a Sunday afternoon, 11 o'clock, 3 o'clock game, I could see you going to that.
But. And I did look at the home game schedule. Like, okay, tonight, just impossible. No way. Friday night, I'm going to be staying in Jersey. You know, going to be hanging out after the kickoff to summer. Then game five is what day? It's a middle of the week day too, right? It's like a Tuesday.
It's next, no, it would be, let me think.
No, it would be
next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Yeah.
We're talking Thursday.
That's the game I'm going to. Without you. Thanks.
No, I know. I mean, you're still going to have a great time. It's not like it's going to matter. You're going to have a better time without me because the whole time I'm going to be looking at the clock going,
I'm
oh, my
crying
God.
The whole time probably.
I'm just going to be crying tears.
Yeah, but you would stay in the city. You wouldn't go back out.
Yeah, I know, but You know,
by getting out of there,
right? You know what this
win,
is like.
Assuming they win that game and getting out of there, you know, you never know what's going to be on the line for that game. But Jesus,
like I could go to bed, and it takes a little while after watching on TV to fall asleep. It takes a little while. But if I'm leaving the arena, if they win, I'm all jacked up. If they lose, I'm pissed off. So now I got to get out of there, go into a hotel, toss and turn in an unfamiliar bed to come in here and do the show in an hour and a half sleep. See, the priority's got to be here.
In a hotel without towels.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Why would they have no towels?
Well, that's what he does. But he books these fly-by-night hotels with bed bugs and no towels.
There were no bed bugs, but there were no towels. And there was a lot of chipped paint around. It looked like there was a murder that had been committed in my room and there was only one elevator. But yeah, that's what's been drilled in my head as a man who grew up in radio. There's a Mark Chernoff on my shoulder at all times. Going, you're going to make the company bankrupt. Is that what you want
to
do?
There's no way he's going to a game, and there's no way he's staying in a fly-by-night hotel. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Well, you can take Boomer then. Boomer will go.
No, I don't think so. That's fine. I don't think I'll be going either.
Who are you going to take? Someone from the radio station?
No, my buddy's going. Me and my buddy are going.
Good.
My buddy Tom.
Good.
Yeah, there you go.
You and
Tom.
That's it.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. Me and Tom are going.
Love Tom. Do I know Tom? I don't
know
Tom.
No, you don't. You never met Tom.
Never met Tom.
I don't think. No.
Tom? No. All right. Well, we'll meet Tom at some point. But yes, this is it, man. This is crazy. So that was 1999. We're talking 26 years ago that me, you, and Riscona had no idea we'd never met one another at that point.
That's exactly right.
We were there at the LJ four-point play game.
I actually thought Gunner was going to get into the NBA and into basketball because he was there with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, we all were going nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
the whole arena exploded.
I mean, that shot from above of the garden, just the top coming off it at that point was...
Do you remember where you were sitting?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
I remember where I was sitting. I wonder if they could find
Section 345, row 15. June 5th, 1999.
Yeah, so it was for people who don't...
Now, give me that basketball.
Who can't pop the whole seating chart in their head. You know, we were behind the basket a little bit to the right of where the shot was coming in. So we were in between the basket and where LJ shot the ball, and up in the 300s there. So
yeah, I'm trying to think where I think we were on the other side of the court down low.
Okay.
And I want to say we were not on the court, but we were a couple rows back.
Yeah. How old was Timothy Chalamet when this was going on?
Yeah.
I think he was 4.
Gunner was 8.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we say it and we bring it up and we've been talking about it forever, but I mean, it really is true, like how rare and special what's happening tonight is.
Yeah, and this is why it's funny watching that Up in Smoke podcast. You know, pretty much the entire league hates the Knicks or just hates the Knicks fan.
Well, yeah, because we're celebrating things that they don't deem celebration worthy.
Right. And they're all, you know, I understand that they're sick and tired of hearing how great Jalen Brunson is. They're sick and tired of hearing how great the Knicks is. The Knicks are the mecca of basketball and Madison Square Garden. Mm-hmm. And the Knicks fan can be, you know, a bing-bonging in your face. And, you know, I can understand why there is such disdain for the overall Knicks success.
Well, I mean, I think that because you're like, this is a team that's been so bad for so long, and now you're watching their fans celebrate in the street after a second round victory, and they're thinking, well, chill out. You haven't done anything yet. But we're like, we're not going to chill out because for two freaking decades, we haven't done you know what.
Right. Well, we've had to watch other stars in other cities go on to have great runs like LeBron James.
Yeah, no one can squash the excitement of the Knicks fan right now. You can hate on them all you want. It's not going to change anything.
Even Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving selected the Brooklyn Nets.
They did.
You know, that right there tells you all you need to know about, you know, what at that point in time, up to that point in time, maybe not now, because Leon Rose has done a good job of acquiring players here.
Yeah.
And really, a lot of these players, with the exception of Brunson, didn't have a choice. They were trades. Like, they had to come here.
Well, that Knicks-Nets rivalry will ratchet back up when Giannis goes there, because there's a lot of momentum behind that now, apparently. So a lot of those rumors. And by the way, someone asked Giannis, what's your favorite place to play on the road? And he answered on X, said New York. And that got like 60 million retweets.
Yeah.
So he's going to end up it's going to be tough for him to be a Knick. This is an off-season conversation, but you just mentioned Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving made me think that's going to be a big thing. The Nets could become relevant again if Giannis ends up going there. But who cares now? Because it's all about the Knicks and the Pacers. And I would love to have the confidence that Jerry had. The Knicks in five, and I'm going to trust Jerry because Jerry nailed the last series, but. This feels like seven to me.
I still feel like Jerry's going to be tweaking us, man.
Tweaking?
No, he's not tweaking.
I don't know. He was dead serious about it. He put his money where his mouth was on that last one. He wasn't doing that last one he did on game seven.
He did.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about, you know, here we are. He knows where we are mentally right now.
Oh, of course he does. I mean, he is going to be popping champagne if the Pacers win. Like, he's going to have a... He's going to have a Pacers celebration party down there in Hazlitt. I mean, he's going to send out the invitations right now. Hey, if this happens, party at the Recos.
You know he's going to try to either annoy... He's got to annoy us either today or tomorrow. Somewhere along the line, there's going to be a dig here, a dig there.
Well, they better hope that the Knicks win tonight because we're going to be with Jerry for a couple of days straight.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's going to be all over. I mean, he's going to be referencing whatever happens in this game if the Pacers win over and over again to try to piss us off on our kickoff to summer. So, Knicks got to win. Got to win game one for our own mental capacity. Dealing with Jerry Reck over the next couple of days, I got to win, man. Got to win.
That's true.
Yeah. So, no Al Dukes today. We did get the dinner reservations changed for tomorrow night. Now
we did.
Joining
yes.
us. You thought that Al was backing out of the dinner yesterday?
Oh, yeah,
when
I didn't realize it was today that he was taking off.
Yeah, you thought he was backing out of the dinner.
Exactly.
And you were giving him all sorts of crap. And I was confused.
Yeah, I totally misunderstood.
But we'll all be back together, and of course Friday kick off to summer. That's where this week ends. Excited. Listen, I'm not Al Roker by any means here, but just looking at what I see here, I think it's going to be dry. I think it's going to be dry down there. So that is a key for Friday morning. It's not going to be warm, but I believe it's going to be dry. So I don't want you to change your plans. Yeah, I mean, we got rain 24%, cloudy skies, small chance of rain. So it'll be fine. Just put a jacket on. I know that I think the bar opens there. You can start drinking responsibly at 7 a.m. And we can get this thing moving in the right direction.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, man. I didn't see this one coming. I got to be honest with you. I was here because Boomer was out a day when the Celtics jersey showed up, and I somehow convinced Jerry to put on the Boston Celtics jersey. Well, today he's got the Pacers jersey on. We got Halliburton there. Is that what we got?
Yeah, right.
We got Halliburton. So there he is.
Well,
Jerry,
I'll tell you
Reco.
What, that's going into the freezer this afternoon for sure.
Okay, so Jerry gets to rock it for one morning and then into the freezer.
Oh, 100%.
Just like Pazingas.
Yes.
Now you get to do this. How does that one feel as opposed to the Celtics one? Good?
Yeah, a little warmer.
A little warmer. Yeah, well, Jerry did predict the Knicks in five.
Yeah,
I know
the Pacers are winning, but it doesn't mean I can't hope.
Right, exactly. And would it be a bigger devastation for you if they lost the Eastern Conference Finals and then made it to the finals and, like, lost in heartbreaking fashion like 94? What do you think would be better for the Knick hater?
That's a good question. To me, you win the conference, that's still an accomplishment.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So I know we sit here and poo-poo. Oh, well, they just made the World Series. You still won the pennant. Like, I think if you're a Knick hater, you want them out now.
Okay. All right, very good.
You don't want to deal with this for another month.
That is true. you'd have to deal with it for another month is exactly right. All right, Jerry is here to give us an update as well. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real clothes for real life. By the way, the shirt underneath this, a brand new Flag and Anthem.
Nice.
Yeah, really nice. Very comfortable, too. So tonight at the Garden, Game 1, NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, Knicks and Pacers. Here is Tom Thibodeau. We are ready to go.
The challenge is always the same, so it's no different whether it's a game or a series. It's to always reset. Each game is different. You have to prepare for that particular game. You're not carrying anything over from the previous series or the previous game. You just got to be right and ready when that ball goes.
All right,
up.
So be right and ready. How do you win this thing? This was Mikal Bridges.
We got to get back. We got to communicate. You know, I think transition defense is a lot, and we have to be really good at it, you know, because they pick teams apart. We're getting out. They share the ball, and they all move, play off each other. Just got to get back. Transition and, you know, talk to each other.
And a big key to the Knicks beating the Celtics in that game 6 at the Garden was the way Karl Anthony Towns played. Here's my guy, Rick Carlisle, one of the best coaches in the NBA, talking about the problems that he poses.
He shoots it with ease. He drives the ball, really going either direction. And in the post, he's still one of the best in the game.
I would say so. So that'll start tonight. Now, I did come up with a couple of pieces of audio that I found post-winning the Celtics series from a couple of fans. You know, a lot of them are, they're kind of going nuts and they're having fun. And hey, Knicks, and NBA champion, all that stuff's good. In the middle of it, though, there was a couple that really caught my ear. Like, this guy had this take, which I thought was a little odd.
De Blasio, we had Cuomo, it was rough s***, but we have the Knicks.
He's got a good point there.
Yeah, he does. Very good point. Yeah.
Went through a lot.
That was really God.
Went through a lot to get here. And on this one, I certainly understand the connection, but they just beat the Celtics, right? They beat the Celtics. And then this guy.
I'm from New York, and you know what? Tom Brady's a
Why? Well, everything's coming out now, man. It's a lot of pent-up anger these years.
Oh, my gosh. So, Knick fans really into it, so that's pretty good. Now, the winner of this series will play the winner of the Thunder and the T-Wolves in the NBA Finals. Last night, Minnesota got out to a really good start. In the second half, though, a completely different story.
8 to shoot, drop set, loses the ball. Shea strips him. His fourth steal. Up the right side to Dub. On the wing, ducking left away from Randall. Gives it up left corner to Wallace. Closed out by DiVincenzo. Snaking left right across the lane. Sets up Duff. Pump fakes down the lane. Burst. Lays it up on the run. Lays it home. Knifing inside of Ant. Timeout Wolves.
Yeah, that was a 10-0 run at that point as they went on to win by a lot. 114-88. They outscored Minnesota 70-40 in the second half to take game one. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 31 points, 9 assists. Struggled with his shot, but certainly shot it much better in the second half. Jalen Williams, 19 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. Pretty good there all around. Here was SGA, as they say. You can certainly tell this thing was a little more intense.
It felt different from jump. More like pressure-oriented. Feels like a little more physical. At the end of the night, it's basketball. They throw you a problem, you have to solve it, whatever it looks like. That's what it is every night, and that's what it was tonight. They had different coverages, different personnel out there.
Very analytic. Never really listen to him talk too much. He's very analytical about the game. So they take game one in the loss. Anthony Edwards shot 5 of 13. He had 18 points. And OKC up 1-0. All right, to the baseball story, and a good one for the Yankees, not so much for the Mets. So we'll start with the positive, and that would be the Yankees taking the opener from the Rangers.
First pitch, breaking ball, hit the right field, hit a ton. Got some carry, going back is Garcia. He will not get it, it's out of here. Aaron Judge with a two-run homer, expanding the Yankee lead to 5-0. Home run number 16, RBIs. 2-43.
Hey, Jerry, speaking of analytical, that was Aaron Judge's shortest home run of his career.
I believe it. That thing barely got over the wall.
In
the dead right corner.
But it still counts. It's a home run. Yankees beat the Rangers 5-2. Ben Rice also homered. Here was Judge with Susan after the game. 5-2 the final. This was Judge on his home run, the shortest of his career.
Just trying to get something up. You know, he's a great pitcher. He's going to kind of run some sinkers in, sinkers down the zone, sliders down the zone, and try to get a slider up and see what we can do.
Well, he hit it out is what he did, as did Ben Rice, who looks to Judge for guidance, if you will.
So much. And it's not always things that he, you know, verbally communicates to us. It's just kind of watching him, watching the way he goes about his business. He's just such a great leader, and I love playing with him every day.
That was Rose Rice on the Yes Network. How about Will Warren? 5 2/3 scoreless, 10 strikeouts. He says he really went after the hitters.
Yeah, just getting ahead and attacking. Wells and put together a good plan, just getting ahead and, you know, let the guys play behind us.
They're now 28-19 as they have won 9 of their last 12, firmly in first place in the AL East if they play tonight, because the forecast really is atrocious. Ryan Yarbrough and Jacob DeGrom at 6:25 on the Fan. And tomorrow, I actually said to, maybe it was Brad, maybe Dove, whoever was talking to yesterday, why would they have not looked at the forecast and tried to play a doubleheader yesterday?
We've been saying this for years. I don't know why they don't look ahead. It's never happened. But they just decide, hell, we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, I guess. Like, maybe it's literally 90% chance of rain today and tomorrow. But I know. We'll see. Anyway, that's on the Fan if they do play. As for the Mets, they were in Boston again, and the Mets gave you a whole lot of nothing. Boston didn't do much either, but they did have a couple of big swings.
1-0. Hit high in the air to left field. Nimmo turns, races back toward the monster, looks up, and it's gone. Into the front row of the big green monster in left field. Carlos Narvaez, the nine man, hits his 5th home run of the year for Boston, and the Red Sox in the bottom of the 5th on a homer against Clay Holmes have a 1-0 lead.
I mean, the big green monster, a little redundant, no? I mean, we know it's big. We know it's out there. That's okay. True. That's a little nitpicky, but
that is true. Well, that was the nine hitter, as Keith Rad said on Mets Odyssey Radio. Then the two hitter, Rafael. Remember when Devers couldn't hit his way out of a paper bag earlier
That's
in
right.
the season?
Yep.
He's done quite well since. He homered, and 2-0 would be the final. You had Garrett Whitlock earn the win in relief. Aroldis Chapman the save. Walker Buehler, by the way, ejected in the third.
Yeah, that
which
was
hilarious.
Really, I mean, really frustrating from a Mets standpoint that you get your starter, yeah. who's a good starter, get ejected in the third out of nowhere for screaming about balls and strikes, and you can't capitalize
at all.
Where the Red Sox are completely caught off guard, not expecting to have to go to the bullpen in that spot, and the Mets can't do a damn thing with it.
They did nothing. Here was Clay Holmes, who did go 6, but gave up the 2 home runs.
Good hitter, put a good swing on the pitch there. And, you know, tight game. You know, you can't really afford those mistakes, but, you know, there was also some good swings there that. You know, sometimes you get beat, and you know, they got it today.
And then, of course, you talk about not being able to do anything against the bullpen. Well, the Mets, again, it's the same old, 0-7 with runners in scoring position as they get shut out. Here's Carlos Mendoza. Yep, we've seen this before.
Yeah, I mean, and overall, we're going through it, no doubt about it. You know, we're having a hard time putting guys on consistently, and when we do get those guys on, we're having a hard time getting them in.
That said, Brandon Nimmo says, everybody, let's relax. Everything's fine.
This happens every single year, and, you know, in my mindset, I'm a little more optimistic, but at least we got this far with, you know, before losing 3 in a row. So, you know, let's try and make it another, you know, 6 weeks before we lose 3 in a row again.
Or maybe not lose 3 in a row the rest of the season.
You're right.
Which would be good.
You see the Steve Cohen ex post from last night?
Now, I'm confused. I thought Dave Portnoy said he got Cohen to quit Twitter. So he is still on Twitter.
No, he's still on.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
But what Dave, I think, was talking about in the Club Shay Shay thing, right,
yeah.
was Steve Cohen was tweeting all the time, and then that whole GameStop thing happened, and he disappeared for months, and now he just bops in and out with
Got
an occasional Mets thing. But he said, welcome to the ups and downs of a baseball season. This, too, will pass. LGM. So that's a message from above.
That
sort
is
of,
true.
Sort of like the George Steinbrenner missives back in the day.
Yeah, except there's no letter.
Right.
With the
letterhead.
Exactly.
Well, it's 2025. You can just put it out there on X.
That is true. You are right. Tyler McGill, Garrett Crochet tonight. The Mets have lost 3 in a row, as Nimmo pointed out, but also 5 of their last 6. And as you said yesterday, and you were correct, the Phillies indeed won. You got no help from the Rockies, who Colorado lost again to Philadelphia.
They're on pace, I think, to lose 135 games.
Is that all? Yeah, I know. It is atrocious. So, Philadelphia.
Wow.
Game and a half lead atop the NL East. All right, the NFL passed a proposal that permits NFL players to participate in flag football 2028 Olympics. I thought it was 26, whatever. Here's your guy, Justin Jefferson, super pumped up.
The chances of, you know, playing in the Olympics and, you know, getting a gold medal is a dream. You know, just reverting back to being a kid and watching the track and field, you know, meets, watching basketball win the gold medal. So, you know, that's something that as a kid I always wanted to be a part of.
Well, now he'll be able to be
so,
a part of
it. The way this is going to work, only one player per team will be allowed to participate.
So, I was hoping they just send the entire Giants squad out there. Show the world how special that group is.
And they'll be voting on the brotherly shove or the tush push, whatever you want to call it today.
And what? And I'm serious when I ask this question. What happens when and if someone blows out an ACL?
Someone's going
to
be pissed.
Do we not allow them to do it again, or do we still, for the Winter Olympics? Or
I mean, look, Olympics, you saw what happened. Matthew Tkachuk in the Four Nations. So he missed the entire season after the Four Nations, and then he came back for the playoffs now. But even Charlie McAvoy got hurt in the Four Nations. I mean, it means something to play for your country. Thank God it does.
I agree. But that's why I was sitting here fighting with Sal about the World Baseball Classic for, you know, last summer, 2 summers ago. When was the DS?
Well,
thing?
Of course, that was like 3 summers ago, I think.
Yeah, it was 2023.
Was it really that long ago?
Yeah.
God damn. Anyway, here's Joe Burrow. He was asked about Trey Hendrickson and the contract standoff that he is basically in with the Bengals right now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. You know, you guys all know how I feel about Trey. He's a great player. I love Trey as a guy. He goes out and plays well every single Sunday. He's very productive. He's a guy that deserves to get paid and get paid what he wants and what the market is. So, you know, like I said, we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, I love Trey and hope he's with us.
Pay him, right? Pay him.
Yeah, well, they paid him last year. You know, kind of similar to what happened last year with him. They gave him a big raise, and I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. Like, the Bengals just do not want to budge on certain situations, and this seems to be one of them. I don't know if they're going to be able to trade him, because whoever they trade him to, he's going to be in the same situation. He's going to want a contract extension, and he's 32 years old.
And the Panthers beat the Hurricanes 5-2. Carter Verhaeghe, a power play goal and an assist. Sam Bennett scores his 7th of the postseason as they take game one.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game one tonight, the Garden, Knicks and Pacers Eastern Conference Finals. I did see yesterday on social media on my Instagram, I got tagged by a man who I think is very, very funny, and he's been used by the Yankees now several times at Yankee Stadium, and he was a part of the All-Star Game stuff that they were doing. Nikki Cass, who's a local Jersey kid who does hilarious impersonations of local people and contractors and guys at delis and stuff. He's really, really talented. Reminds me of guys that I went to high school with that would do impersonations of guys like that as well. And he was just sitting in the studio in our chair yesterday, and he's a big WFAN guy, and it's we got like a mutual admiration here for one another.
There he is.
And there he is sitting there. He goes, Gio stole your seat, my bad. So I was, I wanted to get him in here to hang out like over the summer last year, and we couldn't get him in, and then he's here when we're not here.
Any idea what he was here for?
I have no
was
idea.
Was he a guest on another show here?
I don't know. We have no idea.
Just, he just kind of walked in and sat in your chair without any notification or anything.
Yeah, that's okay. He's one of the guys that he is allowed. I'm a fan of the kid. So we gotta get him in here at some point, but it was cool to see him here. And if you don't follow his stuff, I mean, you have to. It's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, Sydney sent me that photo, and she said, yeah, this guy's hilarious. I said, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm on it, Sid, all right?
Yes.
I mean, I might be old man technology guy occasionally, but this one I'm on. I'm a Nikki Cass fan. Oh, look at this. When Al is out, the mice will play. I know that doesn't rhyme, but that means that some callers who don't normally get through when Al is off. Like
they take advantage of Brian.
Well, no, because Brian's a very good call screener as well. But he does ask. He makes sure.
I ask permission.
Yeah, he
And this guy said, of course I want to talk to him. Who doesn't want to talk to him? And these guys, meaning the caller I'm about to go to, and Brian Rascona, long history together, and not a good one, as I believe that they wanted to fight one another at one point. And that's Brett from Long Island, the famous Brett from Long Island. Hello, Brett.
Thank God Al Dukes is off. I get to call you guys. Now we just got to get rid of Jerry and let him call high school basketball games. It'd be perfect.
Every
Boomer,
time.
I got a bone to pick with you, Boomer.
Yeah, what's that, Brett?
You said I look like the logo for the Portly Villager.
Yes.
You know, I look like I go to the buffet. You know, you're taking all these shots at me.
Yeah, but that's what I see it as I see it. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Brett. That's what you look like.
Boomer, I'm 275. I got a proposition. I never do this. I'll race you 40 yards. I'll meet you wherever. Gio will judge it. If I lose, right, I'm 275.
Okay.
I'll donate $1,000 to your foundation. If I win, I get to come in the studio and meet you guys. Except Brian. I don't want to meet Brian and his coach. Guy puts together a couch and he's talking about it on the air for an hour. Like, really, Brian?
Here he goes. I don't think that, I mean, I'm not going to speak for Boomer on this, but I believe your running days are over, Boomer.
Yeah, I'm done running there, Brett. I appreciate the offer, though.
I'll give you a 10-yard lead. Head start, Boomer.
Yeah,
come on.
Are we running a 40-yard dash? Is that what you want to run?
Yeah, you look like you're still in shape. I'm what you said what I look like. Come on. You want 10-yard head start, Gio will do it. You can go 10 yards ahead of me. We'll run 40 yards. What else you want me to do? Blindfold myself? By the way, my buddy bought your helmet, by the way.
He did. Very nice. He got your
Bengals helmet in his man cave. So.
Very nice. I appreciate that, Brett. You're a good sport. Hey, I appreciate that.
Brett, how old are you?
I'm 54, maybe 55. It's a fair race, Gio. Gio, if I race you, it's got to be only 250, though. You got to run a little bit.
Yeah, but I'll pop a hamstring. You have no idea. I'm so tight. I can't do anything. So, all right. Well, I mean, I don't think that's going to happen, Brett, but it's a nice offer, and you did support the charity in a big way at the Portly Villager. So,
doesn't show up, though.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going.
I come down to meet you. Where are you?
Well, I mean, he said he wasn't going.
By the way,
I was Boomer didn't answer. Boomer, you answer. Why didn't you go there?
Just
come
listen
on,
to
man.
Me. Just shut up for 1 minute. I was up until 2 a.m. the previous night hosting a black tie event in New York City.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
You can't get up. All right, I
got to
go. Boomer, show up next time, all right?
All right, Brett. Thanks,
Brett. See ya. I got to go. Can't wait to get on the show because Al's here. Then I got to go.
I would think that he would have liked the fact that he looks like the Portly Villager logo.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like the Jerry West of the NBA.
It is true, the logo.
Yes.
But he's 275, which is surprising to me.
You know what? He's thick.
Yeah, he is thick. I get, that was a bad angle, though. He looks more like he's in shape than that picture that we took. But
okay.
But yeah, I would. Running and sprinting, that's just not smart these days. It really isn't, especially right before summertime.
Exactly.
That's not when you want to hurt yourself. I mean, we were talking yesterday when we were playing and playing with somebody, and there was a root. And we're like, move the ball away from the root.
I don't want a broken hand. I don't want a broken wrist. I don't want to ruin your summer.
His big golf time. This guy's a big golfer. Can't have any broken wrists.
I don't think he moved it, though.
He did.
He did.
No, okay. He did. Yes, he did. Because he was smart. He wasn't going to break his wrist. Let's go to John Hofstra. Long time, man. What's up?
How you doing, boys? I know I haven't called, but I'm always listening, as you guys know. I just wanted to get your take on what I think about the Knicks series. I've looked up and down the, this Indiana team. I'm not very impressed by their bench. They seem to have a lot of guys who kind of score into that, 10 to 20 point range. And I think what's really going to help and solidify this series is obviously preventing, Halliburton from going off, where Josh Hart is extremely key. And I think if OG and Bridges, and the rest of the team can really be aggressive and take care of what they need to do on the defensive side. I really do think whether it's six or seven games that in the end the Knicks are actually going to beat this team. I don't love this Indiana squad. They don't have the firepower that the Celtics had. And I think if we really turn up that defense, I think the Knicks end up in the championship. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I like all those points. I also think that the Karl Anthony Towns we're expecting in this series is going to be different than the one we saw in most of the series against the Celtics.
He's already given Miles Turner fits this year.
Yes.
So that should be an advantage, you would think. You know, they are deep. They do like to run, and they do pass the ball. They are very, very active on the offensive side of the ball. There's no question about that. But the Knicks have defenders. That's the one thing the Knicks really do bring to this series and every series that they'll play in, is that this is why you go out and get Mikal Bridges. That's why you bring in Josh Hart. That's why you go out and pay OG Anunoby to play defense. And that's exactly what they do. And you know what? The interesting thing in the game six against Boston, if you remember that morning, we were talking about, I said, you got to fight through these picks. You got to close out guys. You can't give them 5 foot of space. Now, guys like SGA and, you know, Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson and even Tyrese Haliburton are going to get their shots. They're going to be able to create separation even without a pick and roll. They'll be able to do that on the guy that's playing them man to man. But it's these pick and rolls with these wide open 3-point shots where you either do a flyby, which drives me crazy, mm-hmm. or you just put your hand up, but you're still 5 feet away from the guy, and you're not really in any way distracting him from getting an open shot. So, and they did that in game six. They played tough defense, and no guy reflected that more than Mitchell Robinson.
Yep. I mean, and him being healthy has been such a boost for this team. I had run out of patience with him and his health, and he came back at the end of this year, got into shape, started ratcheting up the minutes, and now he is an indispensable player for this team.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.